Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
This is the ZABEcast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. Thursday, May 5, 2026. It is Thursday already. The great Armin Sarian will join us today here on the ZABEcast as we are in the month of March. And senior nights across the country are happening on the college basketball landscape. I came across a stat I won't even dignify with the windup of stat of the day because it's kind of sobering. Do you know how many seniors were honored this week in the SEC? Why, the mighty Southeastern Conference. The SEC honoring seniors who had been with the program their entire career and were now out of eligibility. Take a guess. How many seniors in the Southeastern Conference, across the board, all the teams, all the players, how many had done the full run from freshman to senior to that's it, good luck in life, it was great having you? The answer is one. I kid you not. One senior fit that criteria. Nationwide, according to somebody who did the legwork on this and the research, there's only 22 in the Power Four conferences. Now, this is not counting the conferences and the leagues below Power Four, but of the Power Four conferences, only 22 players had completed that journey. This is an absolute disaster and an indictment on the game that has become really a transfer portal, NIL, money, hellscape. And I don't think Jay Billis gives a shit about it. Or if he does, he ain't saying. Because all he has been doing is banging the drum. Gotta pay these players. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. Well, now look what's happening. At the same time, Louisville made their books public and said, look, we're going to crash. Financially, we're going to crash. We cannot sustain this. And they laid it all out in a very long sort of report that said, we're spending this much on so-and-so, we're losing this much. We've drawn down what had been like a $34 million reserve down to about $3 million in just a couple of years. Not sustainable. Also, there are programs being cut left and right across the country to try to save pennies here, save pennies there, to feed the beast, to feed the monster that cannot be slayed. And before you scream, it's the NCAA and their lack of leadership, they lose in court all the time. And the way the judges have ruled on antitrust law, the NCAA is not just, their hands are not just tied. They are hogtied and shackled right now. They can't do anything to put this toothpaste back in the tube. Because you see, the format was the product in so many ways in college basketball. Think about it like this. The format of the sport was as follows. School A recruits high school standout XYZ. They sign with the school. It is hard for them to leave because you have to sit out a full year. So transfers, while they happened, were relatively minimal. Player then fights his way through playing time, injuries, coaching changes, ups and downs. They grind their way through it, hopefully stick with it. And at the end of that journey, they become a senior and they get honored on senior night. And then they're better equipped to deal with something called life, because only a tiny percentage of Power 4 D1 basketball players will go on to play in the NBA. And being prepared for life is something that is worth far more than whatever NIL money you're going to scoop up now. Your agent is going to take a huge cut of. Your friends and family are going to start going, me, grabbing at it. And you're going to, let's be honest, blow it on some shit. You're going to be like Steve Martin in his stand-up routine saying, yeah, I got rich once and I bought fur sinks and electric dog polishers. Then after a pause, he said, and I wasted some of that money too. So this is the landscape we're currently navigating. One high school drafted or one high school recruited senior that lasted the whole program through in the SEC. Of course, it's not just the men. The women's side is almost as messed up. It's just nobody's really paying attention. For example, I had no idea that Tennessee and their vaunted women's program that Pat Summitt built into a monster was wheezing so badly. Had no idea. I don't really follow the women's game. Well, not only are they wheezing badly, but this story caught my attention on ESPN.com. Kaya Wynn leaves Lady Vols, says senior day, quote, breaking point. I'm like, what? Breaking point? What happens? What happened? Did they do something really horrible to her on senior night? Did they really embarrass her somehow? So I dug into the story. This one written by line by Michael Vopel. So it's an actual human being, not a bot, not AI. He writes, Kaya Wynn, a reserve guard on the women's basketball program at Tennessee, said Tuesday she's leaving the program, calling what she felt was a slight on senior day over the weekend, the breaking point, quote unquote. The Vols lost their regular season finale Sunday to Vanderbilt, 87-77, at Thompson Bowling Arena. Massive, by the way, arena. It's larger than Rupp for a reason. When they built it, they're like, how many seats does Rupp have? Yeah, let's add 100 more. And by the way, they used to pack that for the women. Wynn herself did not play in the game. She appeared in just 9 games this year after missing all of 2024-2025 because of an Achilles injury. The Tennessee native had spent 5 years with the program. Okay, I'm going to guess that she was, even with a fully intact Achilles, still just a backup guard. And coming off that injury, I'm going to guess she was even less effective. So it's not surprising that she only got to play 9 games. Ms. Wynn went to social media to air her grievance. Oh boy, here we go. This decision was not made lightly or instantly, she wrote. For the past 5 years, I have given my all for Tennessee and have not regretted doing so once. Obviously, my last 2 seasons on the team have been less than ideal for many reasons, but the one night I was most looking forward to was senior night. As someone who has never started a career game, I was hoping to start in my last appearance at Thompson Bowling. That obviously did not happen. By the way, if they did decide to start her, it would have been the token start. Like, all right, here's our seniors. They're going to start. First whistle, timeout, bring them out. Okay, like I've seen that happen as a thing. I don't know how much it really means per se. Whatever. She said that did not happen. And then to be asked, she wrote, to check into the game with 15 seconds left while losing was not how I wanted to spend my final moments in that arena after 5 years. Although that was not the sole reason, it was the breaking point for me. I have the utmost love and respect for my teammates and this program, and I wish everyone nothing but the best. Okay, first things first. The first thing that comes to my head is the classic internet crack of, this is not an airport. You do not need to announce your departure. She also says she doesn't regret any of it. Of course, the season's almost over, so why is she leaving now? Out of regret, anger? Is she wanting more playing? I mean, it's too late. Career's done. Also, if I could summarize, life doesn't give you what you wanted. Experience unlocked. That's all it is. Life often doesn't work out the way you want. It often is unfair. And the other people around you that you want to get validation from or appreciation from, like your head coach, many times, I don't want to say most often, but many times, those people do not give a shit about you. Or if in the back of their head, like, yeah, I should give Kaya a start here. She's been a good soldier, but I'm trying to win games right now. I'm struggling. I'm going to get fired because Vanderbilt is the best women's team in the state. They rolled us at our place. Tennessee coach Kim Caldwell has not made an announcement about Wynn's departure. Well, why should she? The season's like over. She was a backup guard. What statement? Senior center Jersey Wolfenbarger. Oh, what a name, by the way. Jersey, Jersey. Wolfenbarger, who appeared in 18 games this season, also did not play in Sunday's senior night game. She transferred to Tennessee after 2 years at Arkansas and 1 year at LSU. Tennessee's other seniors, Janiah Barker, Nia Robertson, and Z Spearman, have started multiple games this season, including Sunday. Okay, fine, whatever. The Lady Vols are the sixth seed in this week's SEC tournament in Greenville, South Carolina. In Thursday's second round, they'll face Alabama-Missouri, the winner of Alabama versus Missouri. Now, here's the key two paragraphs. You ready? And I can't believe this is at the end of the story. Tennessee, 16-12, 8-8 in the league, has struggled since late January when it was upset at home by Mississippi State. Oh, the horror. It has lost 9 of its past 11 games, including the past 6. Hold on a second. 9 of 11, 6 in a row, and you didn't start a backup guard who's coming off an Achilles on senior night as a coach who's worried about getting fired? I think I've solved the mystery. That stretch included a 30-point loss at UConn and a program-worst 43-point loss at South Carolina. God help them. The mighty Tennessee Lady Vols are in a bad spot. They're down bad. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when UConn, Tennessee was, hey, I don't even watch women's basketball, but I got to watch this because Gino Auriemma and Pat Summitt are boom, 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 going at it. And I'm going to tune in. 30 to UConn, 43 to Dawn Staley at South Carolina. Oh, my God. After falling to the Gamecocks, Coach Caldwell said, and get this, this was not the loss on senior night, but after losing to the Gamecocks by 43, quote, we had a lot of quit in us tonight. When you're not comfortable and things don't go our way, I have a team that'll just quit on you. And you can't do that in big games. Wow. Well, and now their backup guard, Kaya Wynn, has proven the coach to be correct that she quit. I just wonder, she talked this over with her parents, Kaya Wynn, and did they say, look, I know you're upset. I know you think I poured my heart and soul into the program. Where's a little bit of recognition? The reality in life is people oftentimes don't appreciate your contributions or don't have you in front of their mind about anything. They have themselves in their own front of mind. That's it. They don't give a shit. If I was Kaya's dad, I would say, look, this may feel good on Instagram for one night. You'll get a lot of likes. People go, you go, girl, way to go. But you know what? You can't undo it. Do you really want to go out this way? You say you had a great time. You said that it was a valuable experience, your 5 years at Tennessee. You got an education, free education, college education. You met a lot of people. You got to travel with the team. There's two games left, maybe, one. You really want to go out this way? Like, why? What good is that going to do? Stick it out. Finish it. Finish it with, you know, full marks. And if you feel like at that point you need to spill something on social media for clicks, likes, retweets, admiration, etc., then I guess you do what you do. But you started this thing. Finish it right. That's what I would advise. Doesn't mean if she was my daughter, she'd listen to me. But it's just interesting. So speaking of senior nights, a tweet from an account at SkinsHoops86 said, we used to have real senior nights. Now I feel bad because the college basketball team's social media folks have got a stretch to make hype videos for one-year rental players and guys who are on their third school and are never coming back to the school or caring about the current institution. Probably don't even know where the good burrito joint is on campus or off campus. They're like, yeah, I'm here for a hot minute because I got paid $200,000 through the NIL portal, and now I'm out. The ACC Network retweeted Marcus Page, Carolina Tar Heel, who I don't remember, but he gave a speech on senior night that was enough to bring Roy Williams to tears.
When I first got here, I thought I was going to play behind Kendall Marshall 5 or 6 minutes a game, spot minutes, and kind of develop, become, you know, a better player over the 4 years. But he left, and you kind of handed me the keys to the program and to the team. And, you know, you probably had more confidence in me than I did at that time. And a lot of people were down on me as a freshman, but... The one thing you did is you always believed in me. You know, you always told me, I believe in you, son. You're going to make shots. You're going to do fine. You're going to be a great player. And that you just believed in me. And I can't thank you enough for that, because that allowed me to be a confident person myself and helped me grow as a person.
Roy is just losing it right now.
And I know the most important thing, I know my mom's going to appreciate this, is I've started taking note of the thought of the day every day in practice, because, you know, it's a lot of words of wisdom, and I know one day I'm not going to be able to walk through this tunnel and meet with you at the beginning of practice every day. And I've tried to be every bit the player you wanted me to be, but you've made me a better man, and that's the most important thing. I'm 10 times better man than when I was I got here, so thank you. Thank you.
That is incredible stuff right there. That is where the whole enterprise was so valuable to young men and to the whole thing. The format was the product, and it's been utterly obliterated. Maybe it was going to be obliterated anyway because the money and the interest from television was too great and it was going to wash over everything and wipe it out. Maybe the courts eventually, once lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit had been filed, would have broken the same way against the NCAA and forced them to change. Maybe. But I know this, those who should have spoken up and spoken out for the true value of the system and the format of college sports were not only silent, but they were advocating for the money men because they themselves were getting the most money, millions of dollars to broadcast the games on television, the television networks and entities saying, we'll pay more for it. We'll pay more for it. This is crucial for our business. Oh, and by the way, so I don't look like a hypocrite, let's say pay the players. Well, we're paying the players now. And they're hopping here and hopping there and hopping here and hopping there. They go to the portal. They disappear in the portal. Half the portal vaporizes like water in a puddle on a hot pavement. And the guys that do jump around, what do they have left? What do they expect next? They go try to find a job in the real world, and they get an offer for $68,000 a year, and they got to report to an office 5 days a week, and they go, what? I was making $250 hooping in college. NIL, baby. I'm not going to work for $68,000 in the office 5 days a week. Tough deal, but that's where we are. I don't make the reality. I just comment on it. Coming up, Armin Sarian will join us next. We've got glass quartz Metallica tickets, a Vegas ATM fee that I do not believe, and the little talked about issue about college basketball refereeing, as well as us talking about our plans for Zabe Vegas 2026 Sweet 16 at MGM Grand. You are listening to the Zabecast.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.
The great Armin Sarian joins us now with our Vegas theme song rolling in the background. We are counting down the days till Zabe Vegas 2026. It is going to be epic. However, I sent you a receipt that I saw on the internet, which may or may not be real. You can never tell these days.
Right.
But it purports to show an ATM surcharge fee at Aria of $48. Do you believe that is real?
You know, that one I do. Only because we've always heard Vegas surcharges at Vegas ATMs were real, so or were high. So this 48? Is not one that. Well, it was off an $800 withdrawal, right?
It shouldn't matter how much it's for. I agree. What's the largest ATM surcharge or withdrawal fee you've ever paid yourself?
Not even close to that. I think a few dollars.
$3?
$3. Now, I didn't do this. But I know people that certain establishments and certain bachelor parties, they peel off like an $8 or $10 deal, you know? I'm smart enough, just like I'd be smart enough not to go to Vegas and have to use the ATM. That's your own problem, your own stupidity. If you, or even worse, if you take an extra trip to the ATM in Vegas, then we might have a bigger problem where you're betting more than you should. But you should know better than that.
So you're saying you should plan to never have to go to the ATM in Vegas. Do you know how small a percentage of gamblers that applies to?
Maybe.
The responsible types that bring only the stack of cash that they're prepared to lose, and once they're done, they're done.
Then I don't have much sympathy for someone that can't prepare themselves, like a five-year-old. I mean, I have to get my daughter snacks ready for her because she's 19 months old and she can't do it herself.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what. I mean, if you don't know, no. Now, I will say this. We took a family trip, Laura and her sister and her sister's husband and her brother and his wife. The six of us went last summer.
Family trip.
I guess you're right. It makes it sound like I brought my kids. No.
Yeah.
We took a trip and Laura's sister, I want to say, couldn't believe you couldn't use a credit. Now, she's a full gen, low millennial, maybe Gen Z. Couldn't believe you couldn't use a credit. She's like, what do you mean you have to have cash? Because in this world, it's a cashless world. I'm like, we're going to a casino. You can't, I mean, now you could maybe in the future put credit cards in.
She wanted to gamble with credit card money?
just couldn't believe that you couldn't use a card for whatever you needed to use.
Swipe your credit card at the blackjack table.
They're using some slots are now being developed where they're using that, which is dangerous technology.
Understand that there's some. I think I saw this story that there's some slots that allow you to connect a bank account.
Yeah, that's bad.
A debit card, because that is cash. That's not credit. Holy shit!
You got to know your own. You have to know your own vices, and if you can't protect yourself from yourself, you're in a. You might be in a world of hurt if you can't. You know, when the fun stops, casino's not going to care about you. I mean, they're going to say they do, but, you know.
No, they
you
don't.
Better figure it out. But, yeah, the ATM fees there. Listen, you can get any fee you want in Vegas now these days. You know this, Zabe. We talk about that all the time.
There's no limit to the gouging for sure. Okay, well, we'll see. We should probably stop by Aria and just test it and say, I'd like to withdraw
$20. And then just see what it takes.
Yeah, now, I would assume it can't. I think the $48 must have been a percentage, like you said, of a certain withdrawal, because they're not going to charge you $48 on $20 withdrawal. Although somebody would be dumb enough and drunk enough to go, it is what it is.
Well, I'm going full AT. I'm going full Dave Ramsey now. I don't use ATMs anymore at all.
Wow. Okay. Are you a Ramsey disciple?
I don't know if I'm a full disciple, but I like the content because, you know, I'm a money saver.
No, Ramsey's great.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But I don't use them mostly because I think we need cash less than ever. That's part of it.
We do need cash less than ever. And every institution, the government, businesses are trying to basically eliminate cash because it's bad for them. They get no data out of it. There's breakage. People put it in their pockets. It's also dirty. And, you know, it's an inefficient way of transferring money. But it's great for surveillance. It's great for restricting people's rights. And so the ability to still pay cash for things is a freedom issue that some people get, other people don't.
And sometimes you can save. You know, obviously, they don't have the surcharge. And you can self-regulate better what you're spending. Yeah. But as you know, it's also a little – it's also about like experience, right? I mean – there is more of an enjoyment in winning cash at a sports book than there is just adding a number on my phone. For me, Billy, I've talked about this with Billy. Like, I want to win the cash. Like, it's more exciting because when you were a kid, you dreamt of the day where you might be able to have your own $100 bill in your hand and not just see a number change on a phone app. It's just not the same experience. So it's a reckoning for a place like Vegas, which was historically always, as you know, Zay, but cash town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and cash was king. So it still is in that regard, but even now, a lot of the gamblers will pay ahead with a marker to the casino.
Sure, sure.
You know, no, I don't gamble that much. I really don't. But the ones that do, they have markers. Yeah.
You remember the iconic movie Casino, right?
Of course. Yep.
And when there's the narrator voiceover of Ace Rothstein explaining how Vegas works, about there's people who count the money, there's people who watch the people who are watching the money, who are counting the money. As that montage is rolling, what kind of money are they showing? Coins, usually dollar coins, because that was the currency of Vegas. And they would put them in big trays, and they'd haul them into the armored cars, and that's the way it was. While we're talking money and outrageous amounts, I have a unique Wednesday problem for Zabe Vegas. I'm coming out Wednesday. Thursday night is our first night, Sweet 16 night. When are you coming out Thursday morning?
Wednesday night also. The flight was cheaper.
So where are you staying Wednesday night? Luxor?
Yes, sir, Luxor.
At what rate?
It was a comp rate. It was the same rate. I booked as soon as we set this up.
So months ago.
I had, you know, Luxor and Excalibur, the lowest two MGM properties, and with my players' level, which is not high, but I have the MGM credit card, which automatically puts me in pearls, so I have all my little ways. I don't gamble much, but during the week you can often get a comp rate for those hotels, which I did. I only have to pay taxes and resort fees, then my Friday night is the only one that's a little bit higher.
Okay. By the way, here I am. I should obscure the number on this.
I don't have my wallet with me, but yeah.
So I'm a nubby silver MGM guy. But that said,
Pearl.
My guy Ryan McElwee, who has been great hooking me up with his, you know, he's gotten comp rooms from MGM, so he's letting me use one of them comps.
That's nice. Yeah.
He had locked down three of the four nights, but was waiting on the fourth night because the rates were a bit high. Turns out the fourth night was the Wednesday, which is the first of the four nights. And unbeknownst to him, Wednesday sold out underneath him.
Wow. So
there's no rooms at MGM.
Wow.
And the entire town on Wednesday night, the 25th, is through the roof. Park MGM is almost $500 for Wednesday night. You look at Vegas.com hotels, you'll see
it. I'm checking my site right now. That's crazy.
Right now, there's a reason, according to my guy, Rhino. It's Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga has a concert that night, and it has completely disfigured the market. So now...
Yeah, there's a nasty spike on that Wednesday night. Yeah.
I got to scramble for a bed on Wednesday night.
Well, I got good news and bad news for you.
Yeah.
The good news is I think you'll find one. The bad news is it might not be at the property you want. And the other bad news is I got a king, so I don't have two queens, and you're not staying with me.
Okay, whoa. You can switch that to two queens. I could shack up with you for one night.
We could do it. I just have to, if it's available. Content.
Come on, Armin. Do it.
I'm not against the idea. We just have to see if it's available.
I will spiff you. I will spiff you $100.
You're telling me I can make extra money? You're going to turn this down?
Yes. I will pay for the Armin second bed rate, $100, at the Suxor, and we will film some of the most hilarious content ever in the hotel that I hate, yet you love.
Mm-hmm.
Luxor.
I just got to make sure they have a queen available in the tower. I only stay in the tower. I don't stay in the pyramid.
Yeah, because the pyramid sucks. You have to drive. You have to go in the stupid inclinators, and they're very far away on each corner of the stupid thing.
Well, and I, you know, there have been times in my life where I've struggled with vertigo situations.
Oh, really?
Not real bad, but enough to make me uncomfortable on those elevators. Enough for me to tell them I have a medical condition in which I had to use the tower.
Because you don't have the right to book into the tower alone. You have to prove a medical condition.
You can do it, but for some reason it doesn't show up sometimes on the site.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it does, sometimes it shows up as a higher rate. And then usually if you call, they can match it, but sometimes not. No, listen, if you want to, I'll definitely call and try and get two queens. It's just a matter of if the room's available at this point.
All right, two queens.
We're not in college anymore. I'm not doing two to a bed. Sorry, brother.
Well, no, I didn't ask for that. I would not do that either.
I know.
No homo.
But find something. But there's a spike.
You get two beds. I'm in there with you. By the way, I'll be in there for one hot second.
Oh, I don't care, Zay. I don't care about that. I'm more than happy to hang out with you.
I know, but what's happening is Thursday morning, I'm waking up at ass crack.
You're playing golf, yeah.
Playing golf, balls in the air at 6:50 a.m. at Bally High. And then by the time we're done, then I got to go get my stuff and check in at MGM Grand. Then we've got the pre-Sweet 16 podcast show out there, and then the Papa Shot. That'll be at 3 in the afternoon. So it's going to go quick.
Yeah.
All right. You know,
the thing is about getting up early in Vegas is if you're coming from the east, usually it's not too bad the first day. Because you're up early, right?
Well, I mean, you're right. Your body clock is a little bit more adjusted.
So you say 6:50, but really for you, it's 9:50, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay, let's talk college basketball. The first thing I want to run by you is this court that the Big 12 is going to use for their tournament. It's at the T-Mobile Center. I think it's Phillips 66 sponsors the tournament. T-Mobile Center, this is in Oklahoma City, right? This is where the Thunder play, I believe.
They have a glass court
that has LED technology underneath where with a flip of a button, a touch of an iPad, they can change the sort of logos and the paint on the court to look like any team they want. They can also put ads on the court. And of course, we have major corporation sponsoring this event. Windex, perfect sponsor, is one of the main corporate entities behind this glass court. Where does Armin Sarian stand on glass courts?
It's an abomination to the game. Abomination. Obviously.
Okay.
Oh, come on. This is like the NBA Cup courts. First of all, it's hard for the viewer to watch. Second of all, if it wasn't hard, it's not enjoyable to watch. Nobody wants to watch basketball like this. This is something that it's gimmicky. Obviously, it's just to sell ads. And I'm not even convinced that the court is correct for, like, gameplay. We're used to hardwood floors. So how do I know that this is a proper court with proper ball bouncing that I'll see a proper game? How do I know?
Right.
Like, that's like saying we're going to play with rubber rims instead of iron, you know?
Right. By the way, T-Mobile is in Kansas City, not in Oklahoma City.
You should have, at the least, for a basketball game, you should have a wood court. Listen, you remember the fish that saved Pittsburgh? You probably remember that.
Vaguely, yes.
That really weird movie with all the psychedelic basketball. That's what this looks like. How can nobody can sit there and tell me, boy, as a basketball fan, I enjoy this. Nobody.
Yeah. Well, it does lead to the thought of if glass LED courts become standard in major arenas, okay, you have to start to get your head around where this could be going. If it becomes standard, then you have a whole new ability to create elements of game rules that never existed, like a light-up three-point shot. I've said this would be an interesting feature, and the only way to do it is a light-up court where you can put LEDs, boop, 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 and the three-pointer lights up. I said, do this after you've had three stops in a row on defense. Somebody said to me, Armin, this is just like NBA Jam.
NBA Jam, where you three makes
you're on fire.
Yeah, but that was a video game for kids. We don't also try and say, let's make the world like Zelda and have to live our life that, like,
I don't know.
I just think, like, real sports and basketball fans don't want this, so it's a gimmick, Zabe. You know that. Yeah, you can make. Yeah.
What did it take in NBA Jam to unlock? I guess whatever it was that they
three straight made field goals without the other team making one meant you're on fire.
And what did that mean after that?
Then it meant it was really easy to make baskets. Almost every shot would go in, and the ball would be flaming all over the place. So you wanted to get on fire. Let's go. You wanted to get on fire because it'd be really easy to score then, you know?
Does this music get you all horny?
You know how important it was for me to play this game in my youth?
I don't know. I would imagine it was huge in your youth.
Incredibly. You played at the arcade. Now, when I was a Bucks, the Bucks had the worst team. Brad Lojas and Blue Edwards. Yeah,
I was going to say, who were the Bucks? There was Brad Lojas and Blue Edwards.
And that was the night the Bucks won the world championship, I was in Fiserv.
And that kept running through my mind. What a great deal to get to go to that game. How did that happen, Armin?
It was amazing because of you. Thank you and Mr. Darrell.
Yes.
I've always told you I appreciate it.
I know. I'm just giving you shit.
Okay.
I mean, look at this game right here.
It was awesome. This was the height of sports video game entertainment as a kid. You wanted to play it in the arcade, but then the chance, when I had the Super Nintendo, the chance to get this game, I got it for Christmas. I'll never forget, I was at my grandma and grandpa's house. It was one of the most exciting things that ever happened. It was so exciting. We didn't think technology could get better.
Have you played any of the modern NBA games on either Xbox or on PlayStation or PlayStation 5? Because I'd imagine both the graphics and the gameplay has come a long way.
Oh, everything
is actually better, though. Is it fun to actually play?
Everything's better, but what you said is interesting. I mean, it can be just as fun to play old games. It doesn't mean your entertainment has to be a different level of factor just because the technology is. I played 2K and stuff. Those games are fun, too. I haven't been a video gamer for a while, though. I'm not one of these guys that keeps up with gaming. I haven't had a system for a long time. Since I last had a roommate 10 years ago, and he had a bunch of games, and we played. That was probably the last time I played consistently.
Yeah. Well, when I was in college, my roommate and I, Scott Lawrence, had a running series of not NHL hockey. It was not Sega, but it was Nintendo hockey, where they had fat guy, medium
guy, skinny in your middle. Yeah.
And we had a running series that we kept a ledger on a written piece of paper,
the score
and the date and who won.
And the rivalry got so intense at times that I hate to admit this, turned off the game in anger as I was getting drilled by my boy Lawrence.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you shouldn't do that.
No,
that's sore losing right there, but that's understandable.
It was sore losing, and it led to a roommate fight where we didn't talk to each other for a couple of days.
Similarly, I had a good friend at Marquette, my friend Grant Lorgie, I'll give him a shout out. Good friend for a long time. And the new Madden just came out. This is 05. The new Madden just came out where you could do a season. And there would be different features like media and newspapers would report on your team and stuff like that. And we both had a season going and we kept talking. It was a similar deal to that. But for some reason, little fake Madden newspapers said I kept saying I had turmoil within my team. And we didn't understand. We didn't understand why. And it was like a big running joke. So it's a good memory you brought up there with my buddy.
That is funny right there. So elsewhere in college basketball, did you see that Bill Self got ejected last night for their game at Arizona State?
My favorite thing about that was the Arizona State scoreboard. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say. So you saw this.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. The Arizona State game ops guy was on his game last night. Here's the video of it. Because as Self is walking slowly out of the arena after being ejected, which is pretty rare. I don't know how many times Bill Self, who's pretty mild-mannered, gets ejected from games. It's not like he's Bob Huggins or something like that. As he's walking into the tunnel, the Arizona State game ops guy fires the steam cannons around the entrance as he is ejected. Here he goes.
He met the moment. He only had a little time to think about it and said, I will have an opportunity here to make this great. And he met the moment that guy did.
Like, Should I do it? Should I hit the thing? And there he is, just okay. And there he goes.
And you know, it sounds silly to say, but this was the first half. The game wasn't over. And this was a big win for Arizona State. It sounds silly to say, but that extra juice for the crowd might have helped this team win that night. You never know.
Right. Hey, the game ops guy should be honored.
Can you imagine the famous clip of Bob Knight throwing the chair, you know?
Right.
And then there was another one where he went in the 90s, got tossed at Assembly Hall and was yelling at, I think it was Ted Valentine, the ref.
He did a blow-by. He kind of
did the blow-by. He took a specific route on the blow-by, right?
It was like a low pass of a fighter jet, a flyby, where he veered. And he made sure to get real close without touching him as a way to try to intimidate him.
Can you imagine if they would have fired something off while that was happening? Speaking, I know we're going to talk about officials, so.
Hold on. So speaking of officials, the guy who ejected Bill Self, his name is Doug Sirmons, S-I-R-M-O-N-S. And he is a pretty well-respected official. I don't know exactly how well-respected. I've got a buddy, Ron Thomas, who knows every ref, all the details. He will fire off on the group chat to us, Armin, details about certain referees calling certain games like he's, you know, Dustin Hoffman in Rain Man. It's absurd how much he knows. And he's so into it. This guy's good. This guy's a phony. This guy's a show pony, et cetera, et cetera. I think Doug Sirmons is pretty well regarded. However, he works every fucking night.
Yeah.
And travels all over the place to the point where people are saying, hold on a second. How do we know we're getting a well-balanced, well-rested, not pissed off because he's on his ninth game in 9 days referee ejecting coaches in a crucial league game like we had last night? Here's Doug Sirmons' schedule. Look at this thing.
Wow.
9 straight nights he refereed games from Tucson, Arizona to College Park, Maryland, Evanston, Illinois, Champaign, Illinois, West Lafayette, Boulder, Colorado, Waco, Texas, Lawrence, Kansas, Fort Worth, Texas as well.
Wow. First of all, it's a brutal schedule. So you don't know how rested these guys are, right?
Not rested. I know how rested they are. Not, Armin.
And I've long said the best officiating job is college basketball in any sport because you have the opportunity to work so many nights. And obviously these guys want to work as much as they can to get as much money as they can because they can, you know, get a per game, whatever. They can travel. And honestly, it's a problem for college basketball because they don't have much choice because of how many games have to be officiated. I mean, there's 365 Division I teams, Abe, and any week there might be 500 plus D1 games. You need refs for all these games.
Sure.
I mean, and so if you're a good one in demand, you're going to be hired by desperate, you know, ADs and people that are looking to schedule refs. So there isn't much choice. You either have more refs, which make them worse. You have refs that are forced to take more rests. But then again, how do you fill the spots?
I would argue that having Doug Sermons ref your game is still probably better than some junior guy who's trying to make his bones and thinks he's hot shit. And
he's trying
too hard, calling too many calls, etc. Dan Dockage, OutKick, said, here's a dirty little secret in college hoops. Referees get paid different by the league. The MAC will pay refs $2,000 to $2,500 per game. It's a lot of money, by the way.
Think about that. If you work 10 nights in a row.
I know. But you know what? To get to the two grand a night, you have to ref so many girls' JV games in high school at literally $12 a game.
And you do it every day. It's like punching a clock, driving a truck. They don't care.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they don't care, but.
So yeah. the MAC pays $2,000 to $2,500 per game, says Dockage. The Big Ten, though, pays $2,800 to $4,200 per game. So in other words, the lowest Big Ten pay, according to Dockage, is more than a MAC game. He then says, who do you think refs want to keep happy? The MAC coach or the Big Ten coach? It's an easy answer. When MAC teams go to Big Ten arenas, the fucking is legendary. And I got a nasty call from the bosses at ESPN for saying this on the air. The Big Ten commissioner, Jim Delaney, was also pissed that I exposed this truth.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I thought this was silly when I first saw it. But Dan Dockage is the king of bad hot takes. I think it's an absurd notion to think that these guys are bending over backwards to try and help Big Ten teams. I think it's more likely Big Ten teams are a lot better than MAC teams. But I know he coached at Ball State, and that's what he wants to do. And do you really think this is true? That this much of a
It's true, Armin.
No, come on. Why?
Here's why. Well, because you think there's a grand conspiracy and there's memos and there's plans in place. It's just a matter of who's going to get the whistle on a given night. Who's going to get a few more calls? Who's going to be allowed to body players a bit more? How is it going to play out? When I was a much younger man, Armin, that had still some hair on my head and I wore a thinner man's pants, I was the play-by-play voice of the UC Santa Barbara Gauchos.
I know, I found some stuff on YouTube.
I'm sure you did.
Of you doing the coach's show and
the
stuff.
The coach's show, yeah. I put that up there on YouTube.
That's right. That was you, yeah.
So I did the games, and one year UC Santa Barbara from the mighty Big West Conference, and I say mighty with all sarcasm because it was not mighty, we got a home and home with Texas. Now, that's big time shit, a home and home.
Absolutely. Actually,
you know, even though Texas in the early 90s was not what it is now, basketball wise, they were still only giving a shit about pretty much football. But Texas is Texas. But we got a home and home. We actually dragged Texas to our court.
That's bad work by the Texas AD.
Well, they needed a pair of games.
I guess.
So here's the deal. So the game at UCSB, they beat us, but it was pretty much even game. We return the favor the next year. I'm on the team flight. I'm going down there. I'm courtside calling the game. And let me tell you, the calls that I saw with my own eyes and the fucking bias from the Southwest Conference is what it was at the time. The Southwest Conference officials who we had to agree to let them use because that was part of the deal. It was egregious, Armin.
Well,
so I know this does happen. The Big Ten will absolutely happen. Yeah, the Big Ten will get a heavier whistle or a lighter whistle, however you want to look at it, if they're playing a smaller conference. Now, this goes back to the whole argument about Miami of Ohio as they cruise towards what could be a epic conundrum if they lose in their conference tournament this week.
Dokic says the MAC is perceived as a soft touch hoops league. So then why are Big Ten schools so damn afraid of legit home and home series? The schools are close. The travel is easy. Don't give me the net quad one or quad four bullshit. Big Ten schools have been ducking the MAC for years.
This is so stupid. I'm sorry. Dokic is stupid on this one.
Okay. Really, I want to hear your response to that.
Well, first of all, I don't accept this premise that they're ducking MAC schools. They just don't want to give a one-and-one to a school when the value isn't there.
Okay.
The value's not there. A MAC school shouldn't get a one-and-one with Michigan.
Fair.
They should get a 4-and-1 at best or something, right? Okay. Second of all, they say they don't want to schedule them. I don't think it's they don't want to schedule them, but the terms might not be on their end. However, there is a problem with if you're too good of a mid-major, it's hard to get a game with a high major. Mm-hmm. But you can't tell me they couldn't have scheduled a little bit better. Now, I don't know. Only the ADs truly know that process and how hard they tried to schedule it. I mean, the Miami of Ohio played 3 Division II teams in the non-conference. Did they have to do that? We don't know. There are other teams that are playing high majors. They just have to be willing to go there and play. Miami knows if they go play Michigan, they're going to lose. And they go play Ohio State, they're going to lose. That doesn't necessarily mean they can't get an at-large bid, but it means it's going to be harder. So they like this. They got a bunch of wins, and most importantly, they got a home gate. They got a home gate for their team, for their games.
Yeah.
That's what this is also about. So if
Miami loses, Armin, are you going to pound the table for them to get in?
Well, it's a good question, and what I think is interesting
I'm
about
asking
this,
you. Yes, yeah, or no?
Well, I think it's interesting about this is they won again last night against Toledo by 2. So the sports gods are giving us exactly what we wanted, because if Miami would have lost any of these close games, this would be an over conversation.
Oh, I know.
We wouldn't be able to talk about it. But they keep winning these close games against really bad teams that's giving us this opportunity to say, still, should they be in? Miami's 30-0, and I'm telling you right now, Zabe, if the NCAA, they have a problem from hell on their hands. I said it last week. If the NCAA adheres to the standards that they set forth when the committee gets together, they should not be an at-large team when they will have one loss. Yeah. This is assuming they lose a game, right?
Right.
So that's a bad loss.
You can tell Miami's shorts are getting really tight right now because of these narrow wins. You can tell they're like, don't slip up here.
But they love it because, well, that's true. But they also like this because they can be a martyr for college basketball.
And no, they don't want to be a martyr. They want to be in the dance. Martyrdom only goes so far.
As somebody who
called an NIT game one year for UCSB, it's the most depressing tournament in the world because you're not at the dance. The crowd is half full, if that, at your arena. Your own AD might not have wanted to take the game itself because it's just kind of not worth it, but they had to. So that's what Miami wants. We'll see what happens.
I think if they go like 32-1, I think the committee will put them in Dayton because they don't want the smoke. I really do. I think they'll do it. But I'm telling you, it's not just narrative to say Miami's out-of-conference numbers and all this stuff is bad. It really is. They really have really terrible numbers in the out-of-conference. The lowest KenPom team ever to make an at-large was 2016 when Temple was 95. Right now, Miami, Ohio is 89th. So we'll see.
It's happened. Okay.
One loss is going to damage their numbers, though, and that's the scenario we're talking about. So we don't know what it's going to be.
Did you see Lunardi clapping back on Bruce Pearl about the Auburn thing? So here's what Lunardi said. Quote, I try to avoid debates without clear right or wrong answers, but Bruce Pearl's argument against Miami as an at-large team requires context. Well, talk about a soft rebuke. First, high major status aside, we have no idea whether Auburn is the better basketball team. Second, Miami has won 4 more true road games than Auburn has even played. And road teams in men's college basketball win less than, care to take a guess, Armin, what percentage of road wins in D1?
I'll say
30%. 33%. They win less than a third of the time. Finally, in the modern history of the NCAA tournament, great mid-majors, which maybe Miami is, maybe they're a fraud, but great mid-majors have won almost twice as many games as middling high majors, despite fewer bids and weaker seeding. Boom! That's a mic drop from one Joe Lenard.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, nuanced take with information to back it up. I like it. Although the one thing I'd say is, how much a team will or won't win in the tournament shouldn't matter. It should be based on your body of work to get in. You know, like that shouldn't prove that you were worthy or not. I've never believed in that.
I mean, you don't think tournament success validates the fact like, hey, nobody thought St. Peter's was any good, and look at how far they went. Holy shit, Loyola of Chicago is actually in the Final Four.
Maybe a little bit, but those are basically high variance results. So I don't think they tell us much because these are coin flip games that could happen. These are anecdotal results, right? You're judged on a body of work on a bid being deserved or not. And I think at that point, the decision's been made. The process is already done. So you can't look at a result afterward and say, it's 2020 hindsight. I don't believe in that. But I get why some people do. It's intuitive and logical for some to think that way. But I just don't. That being said, he makes other good points. But Miami hasn't played anybody. If Auburn played Miami's schedule, they might blow those teams out.
We don't know.
That's good fun debate for sure.
Our
internet crapped out, so we're going to wrap it from here. I'll just say in closing, Armin, our next big mission will be to get Metallica tickets at the Sphere. I'm sure you're aware of just how absurd it has been trying to get them. The online queue to buy the tickets reaching 500,000 people long. They added 8 more shows. Prices through the roof. And people are bitching about it and complaining. And I'm like, do you not understand basic supply and demand?
Right, that's it. That's what it is. And the reality is, if that much demand is there, they're going to have more shows. They want to make their money. So, no, I don't think I'll be emptying 3 or 4 months worth of mortgage for one ticket to see the skeletal remains of Metallica.
Exactly. But this is like the Eras tour for the adult men. The Eras tour for the adult men who got hit in the shorts by taking their daughters and their friends to, you know, Taylor Swift. They're now like, well, I'm going to be irresponsible going to see a band I like.
I like. This is them saying the Skip Bayless thing. Now it's my turn.
Now this is my turn. Yeah. All right. Armin, always a joy, my friend. Work on that 2 Queen setup at the Luxor. Unlock a free $100 for you to push out onto the felt. We'll have a grand time.
All right. Sounds good.
Let's end on this. The TGL, the Tomorrow Golf League, or the Giant Indoor Simulator League, starring PGA Tour pros who are scooping up an extra couple million dollars, some of the top guys, to play in this thing, had its best moment ever last night as Tom Kim of Jupiter Golf Links, that would be Tiger's team, clad in all red shirts, although they're different makes and models and even shades of red, which triggers me to going back to charge from yesterday. Not only do the different colorways of the shoes on NBA players trigger me, but this also triggers me. You're like, okay, so you're a team in the TGL. You need team shirts. You need to pick a team shirt, same color, same make, same manufacturer, but okay, whatever. Tom Kim playing for Jupiter. Tiger Woods not playing, but he is captaining, so he's out there, part of it. Throws the hammer down. They've got to win their match to make the playoffs. The hammer is like a multiplier for points. Par 3, and Tom Kim does this. Yeah, they play music at the TGL just like the LIV Tour. So dumb. Matthew Berry calling it for ESPN. Matthew Berry has been an enthusiastic hype man for the endeavor, and I don't blame him for that. Guy's trying to advance his career. Kim going crazy, jumping chest bumps between the players. Tiger with a giant bear hug. It's like, easy, easy. Guy's still coming back from his Achilles. Kisner doing whatever Kisner does these days. Homa is part of the team. Okay, so there it was. Let's see. Most of TGL's ratings come from any match involving Tiger's team because it's Tiger. He's the guy that moves the needle. He is the needle. And they need to win one more match to advance to the finals. And they're down to their last shot, basically. These are all simulators. These are all computers running this. if they wanted to put their finger on the scale, their thumb on the scale, if they wanted to just say, hey, let's give Tom Kimmel all in one here. I mean, what would stop them from doing it? Who's going to audit them from doing it? They could just say, well, nobody's going to know hitting into a simulator screen where exactly the ball is going, what spin rate, its distance, its angle. I mean, it's totally plausible. I didn't say likely. I said plausible. You just don't know. Of course, Marty Smith, ESPN, said this was one of the coolest moments I've seen. Some want to clown TGL. Talk all you want. This shit was electric. I guess if you're there and you're making a paycheck to announce for it and you're talking to the players, of course you're going to get hyped up into the moment. Someone else tweeted, and it could have been a bot, I've watched countless tour events, majors, and Ryder Cups over the years, and I've never seen a celebration as big as this sim ace. Where does this rank amongst the greatest shots of all time? Okay. I said, behind Woody Austin's punch out from the trees on 15 at Harbortown to save double on a trunk slam Friday, but ahead of Billy Andrade's bladed bunker shot that hit the stick and dropped for a par at Hartford. Greatest shot in golf history. Again, I'm probably responding to a bot on this, so the joke's on me, but I just couldn't resist. Hey, if you like the TGL, if it's fun, go ahead, watch it. But let's not get carried away, people. And also, can you please fix the shirt situation? You're one team, one brand of shirt, one color of shirt, and the pants can be optional, but yeah. Well, not optional. You need to wear pants. My point is, you can wear perhaps your own brand of pants, long as the color matches. But the shirts need to be one color. Thanks for listening. Make sure to rate and review if you have a second. I really appreciate it. It helps with the algorithmic overlords. Go ahead, send me a text if you want, or a tweet at Zabe, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. Also, you can hit me up via email at zabe@yahoo.com, including if you want information on our get-together at MGM Grand in Vegas for the Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday at their Level Up area with the Papa Shot Machine. The sports book just steps away. Beer, food, going to be a grand time watching the Sweet 16 together as a group and then going out to the Vegas Sign for a big group photo and then hopefully to a hot night spot to just have some fun into the Vegas night. Email me for details, zabe@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time.
Just because the NFL season is now firmly in the rearview mirror does not mean the betting season is over. There is still plenty of opportunities to put a little something-something on the games. No matter what tickles your fancy, there is still plenty of action to whet your appetite. But just remember, where you bet is every bit as important, if not more so, than what you're betting on. That's why I tell my friends to go to mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been ahead of the game for years now. And why does that matter? Oh, I don't know, in a million ways. Better lines, better payouts, less rules. At mybookie.ag, use promo code ZABE and have your deposit matched halfway up to $1,000. That's a free cash bonus for making your deposit. Use promo code ZABE to claim the offer. Bet, win, and most importantly, get paid with MyBookie today.